Jimmy Pomlieri is in constant physical pain. He has Behçet's syndrome, a rare disease that affects only about 15,000 people in the United States. It's an autoimmune disorder that causes a host of other symptoms, including chronic headaches, fever, nausea, severe joint pain, ulcerations, and skin lesions. There is no cure. Pomlieri tells Anne Strainchamps about living with Behçet's.
My symptoms started 3 weeks after I was born, and my fevers would go up to about 106. They just didn't know what was happening. I would vomit every day. My mother and father were married very young, and they had a child that was enormously ill, and they had no clue on what to do. And doctors had no clue on how to treat me. So they treated every symptom, never really getting to the base of the matter. And I was around 10 or 11, and my mom and dad had taken me to a plethora of doctors, basically getting the same information that I should be institutionalized, that this basically was in my head, that I was having some type of emotional problem and was preferring to be ill rather than to live a life.
Did you do this even past infancy? Like, are your memories of being, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 10?
Up to 20. I mean, this was constant. And at the age of about 16 or 17, my mom had the, I don't know how you would say it, the audacity or the brains to call the Pasteur Institute in France. And they directed her to a doctor in New York. And one visit to him, and he said to us, he has one of three things. And within 2 months, they knew what I had, and I began treatment.
Did the treatment help at all? Was there anything to do?
It was very archaic at the time. What they were doing was they were taking blood from family members and spinning it in a plasmapheresis machine and giving me the parts of the blood that I needed, which was fine and good, but it was a Band-Aid. It wasn't helping. It would keep me well for a period. And then they invented something called transfer factor, which I don't know if is used anymore or not. And I believe it took about 4 pints of blood to make a 10cc needle, which was extraordinarily painful. When I would receive the needle, my arm would be in a sling for about a week later. That, you know, either did or didn't work. It was not a long-term solution. I, in my travels of doctors, came across the most wonderful doctor in the world is Dr. James Zaleski, and he's a pioneer in pediatric AIDS at this point. And he suggested that we try intravenous gamma globulin, and that is what I've been on for approximately 26 years. And every 21 days I have a transfusion of gamma globulin.
Isn't gamma globulin supposed to be something incredibly painful to receive?
Intramuscularly, it's beyond painful. Intravenously, you have reactions in the beginning, very similar, I imagine, to a chemotherapy type thing, where you vomit, you are very tired, massive headaches, and then one day suddenly you are used to it. You know, I'm very thankful. I call it the horror show of the 21st day, because I get it every 21 days, when in actuality I know in my heart that I'm glad that I'm able to get it.
What would happen to you if you didn't get it?
If I didn't get it, my body wouldn't hold up. My body would wear itself out. I become so ill that I don't know how to explain it to you, but every part of my body shuts down. You know, and although the gamma globulin keeps me alive and keeps me able to live a life, I still endure many of the ramifications of Behçet syndrome. But to me, I guess they're second nature.
Like what?
I have constant oral ulcerations. I have neuropathy, which is a nerve damage in your fingers and your hands and your feet. I have epididymitis, which is testicular pain. I have it constantly. I have central nervous involvement, which is racking with my balance at this point. I just tend to overcome a lot of these things, so I don't know how. I just tend to.
But are you telling me that you're in pain all the time, every day?
You know, it's funny. I don't look at it this way. I realize that I am in pain. I'm not playing martyr here. I do realize that I am in a level of pain. I realize that some days it is worse than others. I realize there are days that I cannot get out of bed. And I realize that there are days where I can just deal with it. And it's as though, you know, someone having blonde or black hair, it's what they know. I don't take pain medication, and there's a very clear reason why I don't. I don't know what the future holds, and I don't want to be immune to any pain medication. So what I do is pray a lot of it away, and this is going to sound so trite to you, but I do something that I didn't know was not normal. And when I wake up in the morning, I do something called what I term prayaways. And they're just, you know, God, I can't deal with this today. Take it away. I have a lot to do today. I didn't realize that most people don't do that. And I know that sounds trite, and I know it sounds simplistic. It's just part of my life. I just pray the pain away. And, you know, I'll take it Friday. I have stuff to do today, so I'll deal with it Friday.
For people who don't know what it is, what is Behçet's syndrome?
Behçet's syndrome is an autoimmune disease that is a disease that's hyperimmune. So rather than having not enough immunities, Behçet's patients tend to overreact to some type of illness or any type of infection. In doing so, it wears your body out by fighting so hard. So therefore, it depletes any energy that you have left to continue on.
I suppose, I mean, there must be people who would say, it's amazing that you're alive. I mean, how could a child survive that much pain, those fevers, all the vomiting, day after day after day for an entire childhood?
It's pretty amazing. I went back to see my doctor in New York, and he said to me, we just did not expect you to live beyond 25. He said, so we are at a loss. We have no data on you. We have no data on people at this age. He said, and there's a collection of you that have survived and endured this, and we're now collecting data. So there's really no precedent. There's no reason as to why I should be here. But I'm a very spiteful, tough man from New York, and I'm imagining that's why I'm still here. I'm not sure that it has anything to do with bravery. I'm thinking it has to do with a lot of spite.
Were you able to go to school as a child?
I went to school. I most years would have a third of the year in illness days. I was very lucky that studies came relatively easy to me, so I was always able to catch up. I also went to college. I went to the Culinary Institute of America because my passion was for cooking, and I was denied entry because of my illness. And of course, it was just another fight for me, and I fought it. Naturally, we won. It's illegal to eliminate someone because of an illness. I think they strongly suggested that I may not be able to do this. I did have to take 11 leaves of absence, but I did get through it, and I did get my degree.
Well, you didn't just get your degree. You're a very accomplished chef, and you've maintained a professional career. You're a chef to stars in Hollywood, right?
The day that I graduated school, I was told that there was an executive for Universal Studios that was interested in hiring a personal chef, and it was a blind interview. I didn't know who it was for, and I was told that it was a casual interview. It was in New York, and I was going to the museum that day, so I was dressed in jeans and a Mickey Mouse sweatshirt and a backpack. And I showed up, and there was about six men in three-piece suits. They were the style at the time, and they were waiting for their interview. And I literally thought, well, I blew it. I thought it was a casual interview. And a secretary came out and looked, and I was the last person to arrive. The secretary came out and looked around and said, you are the only one that listened to the word casual, so I'll take you first. And I imagine if these men had guns, I'd be filled with holes at this point. And, I had my interview, and she said, I'll be back with you in 2 days. I had no clue on who it was for. Two or three days later, it was dinner time and a phone call came, and it was for Steven Spielberg and Amy Irving when they were married. And I was hired for them. And that was my first job.
How have you managed to live with daily pain and, you know, from time to time it sounds like incredibly acute pain and work as a professional chef? I mean, being a chef is one of the most demanding jobs there is.
You know, I look at my surroundings and I say, you know what, who gets to see the celebrities that I get to see, or who gets to be in these wonderful homes with these beautiful views? And today I'll look at the ocean and I won't feel my back hurting. There are periods where I don't work 6 months longer, where I've not been able to do something, but those periods pass.
Having an illness this severe and with this many different, you know, sort of ramifications, different body systems involved, you must have to get an awful lot of medical care. What about medical bills?
My medical bills are astronomical. I mean, astronomical. I was dropped from my insurance company because of it. And I have gratefully been able to get on a state program.
So could I ask how much a year?
You know, it could be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars every year. And, you know, that's what it takes to keep me around.
Have you ever met anybody else with the same disease?
I've avoided it.
Why?
I've avoided it probably for selfish reasons. I did not want to see what could be. I didn't want to see someone in a wheelchair. I was told as a young child that there was someone that I could meet, but they didn't have a chin because the ulcers had eaten away at their skin, and I didn't want to see that. I didn't want to be friends with this person. I know what my life is like, and I can deal with that. I don't want to premeditate what might happen. But I did come across someone in L.A., and the comical thing is, or the irony of this situation is, he was diagnosed by the same doctors in New York and New Jersey at the same time that I was.
What was that like to meet somebody who has the same disease? And did you have a feeling of kinship or a feeling that each of you, this might be the one person in the world who would understand what you live with?
Absolutely. To meet someone that I don't have to explain anything to and to just be able to hug them and know that they know was beyond. It was so cathartic for me.
I've read that one of the reasons so many people who have Behçet's die so young, I mean, the average, as you said, is 25 years old, is due to the level of pain, and people just can't take it. And so a lot of them commit suicide. Have you ever been tempted in that direction?
No, absolutely not. You know what? I have such a great support system. I'm blessed with the family that I have, and I'm surrounded by friends. Many people isolate. That's not been my case. So there's really no thought on that. It's not an option for me. I don't judge anyone that it was an option for.
You said earlier that one of the ways you deal with the pain is praying, meditating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that living with this kind of disease and this much pain has made you a more spiritual person. I'm wondering if it's helped you find any kind of explanation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I went to one of the religious leaders in our community, and I asked her, I said, why am I being tested again? I don't know why I'm tested. My faith never, never dwindles. And she said something so smart. She said, why would the devil test people with no faith? He already has them. He needs to test the most faithful. She says, this is why you're being tested. You'll always be tested because your faith never dwindles. And I believe that to be true. And my faith doesn't dwindle. It only gets stronger. And my prayers are answered, every single one of them, one at a time, maybe not at the speed that I want them at, but they are answered.
Jimmy Palmieri spoke with Anne Strangechamps.